The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and is intended for informational and educational purposes only, and is made possible thanks to our sponsor, Trimo Pharmaceuticals. Visit resethastudy.com to learn more about their work.
As a parent, your job is to protect your kids, and everybody wants to give their children the most amazing childhood and life that they can. But things happen, illness happens, and unfortunately, pain happens.
Hi, I'm Mel Forrest, and you're listening to The Pain Podcast. It's officially fall and school is back in session. Back to school means new friends, new clothes, new supplies, but it also means new injuries, illnesses, and the occasional, well, if you're like me, frequent, bumps and bruises. Kids are constantly growing and evolving, and as a parent and caretaker, it's magical to witness. And through this whirlwind of time and change, you may find yourself wanting to protect and shield them from the painful moments. But sadly, you can't always do this. They will experience pain at some point. The question is, what do you do when this happens? And how do you know when it's something more serious? Infants to young adults have such varying and evolving ways in which they communicate and express themselves. And it's no different when it comes to pain. Because of certain preconceived notions about children and the many factors that come into play, it can be difficult as a parent or caregiver to manage and understand. In reviewing a 2016 study titled Chronic Pain in Children and Adolescents, Diagnosis and Treatment of Primary Pain Disorders in Head, Abdomen, Muscles, and Joints, I learned that pediatric chronic pain is a significant problem, with conservative estimates that posit 20% to 35% of children and adolescents affected by it worldwide. Pain experienced in children's hospitals is known to be common, under-recognized, and undertreated. This untreated chronic pain in children incurs a high risk for the subsequent development of pain and psychological disorders later in life. So, if it's such an issue, why are we not as quick to address it? If we recognize that adults can experience pain on such a personal and visceral level, do children not have the same experience? In this episode, we talk with Donna Sullivan, a parent and pediatric pain advocate, and Dr. Lonnie Zeltzer, a pediatric pain expert, about why chronic pain in children often goes untreated. And we also learn how to address this issue.
I am a mom of three amazing kids living with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and complex pain. Nobody dreams of having a child that's going to have medical issues or pain.
This is Donna Sullivan, a parent to three children with medical and pain conditions. She is also a board member for the Coalition Against Pediatric Pain. Listen as Donna shares her personal story of what it's like being a parent to children with pain.
So for me personally, I have three children, two whose lives have been radically changed because of their medical condition. We have a genetic condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome in our family, which is essentially a defect in collagen. So collagen is everywhere in the body. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is most widely known because a lot of people that have it are very flexible. They're very bendy. They're very hypermobile. And so 10 years ago, when my family's journey started, hypermobility was just, you were awesome at gymnastics. But as it turns out, as joints hyperextend, there can be a lot of other injuries to the body that can cause pain. And unfortunately, sometimes you can have other things going on medically that can be made worse if you have hypermobility or damaged connective tissue. So with my daughter, she was 10 years old and she went in for routine scoliosis surgery and she came out with a few levels fused and a lot more pain. We thought, okay, maybe this is just recovery from the surgery. And as her pain got worse and her symptoms got worse, her physician started putting her in the hospital for pain management. And that was when we got our introduction to the world of pediatric pain management.
Pediatric pain management programs are available at major hospitals in the U.S. We will talk more about pediatric pain management and access to these programs later in this episode.
We started with her on a pain program. We would work with psychologists, occupational therapists, and a lot of physical therapy. Unfortunately, a lot of these programs still don't have a full understanding of the needs of children with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. She got better, but she still wasn't doing well. And over time, they realized that she needed another fusion. Her spine was so hypermobile. And she came out of that one worse. Her pain was worse. Her bladder started to let go. Her legs became weak. She started falling. Our family kind of fell into this rabbit hole of, your child's not getting better. We're doing everything we can. I know she's saying she's in a lot of pain. It must be psychological. But over time, as she continued to deteriorate, they discovered she'd been born with tethered spinal cord. And when I looked back, I realized she had all the symptoms since birth that had somehow been overlooked when they fused her. Tethered cord is also another kind of rare comorbid condition of Ehlers-Danlos. It's not always recognized and not a lot is known about it. It also falls into a very strange category. They have certain diagnoses that are called controversial, which as a parent, I never even knew this existed. But tethered cord is also was considered controversial at the time.
Tethered spinal cord syndrome is a neurological disorder caused by tissue attachments that limit the movement of the spinal cord. Surgery can be seen as controversial due to the complexity of the condition, and many feel that there's an absence of clinical outcome data to provide adequate guidance.
We went forward with the neurosurgeon who wanted to do surgery, and sure enough, they detethered her, and it was miraculous for my daughter. After spending 6 years in constant pain and being bedbound and missing high school and missing all those milestones, suddenly her pain was so greatly reduced. She could walk a mile, and it was just miraculous.
For Donna, she was able to make the appropriate decisions that allowed her daughter to live a life with less pain. Many parents and caregivers are faced with making difficult decisions for their children concerning pain, and these decisions are made even harder due to the preconceived notions and common misconceptions that surround children. For instance, some might dismiss their pain because they think that children are resilient and bounce back quickly. Or maybe they don't see certain pain markers, like wincing, crying, or pulling away. Some might even think that kids don't remember pain as easily as adults. We caught up with pain expert Dr. Lonnie Zeltzer to understand further why pain sometimes goes untreated in children and adolescents.
There are different approaches to the experience of pain, but also the expression of pain.
Dr. Zeltzer was the head of the UCLA Pediatric Pain and Palliative Care Program for over 30 years and continues to be a leading expert voice in the field of pediatric pain. At this point, we would like to acknowledge that the following audio is slightly fuzzy. You may want to increase your volume to better hear the following content.
I think chronic pain for anybody at any age carries a stigma. The younger you are, especially when you're forming your identity, you don't want to identify yourself as a person who has chronic pain. So there's a tendency for a lot of adolescents to be secret sufferers. And they may not even tell their parents, or they may feel like if they tell doctors, nobody's going to believe them. They'll think they're trying to get out of school or get out of work, whatever their function is. And I mean, kids get often a lot of the same problems adults do.
If children can experience chronic pain the way adults do, then how do we address the common misconceptions that contribute to this issue?
I think there's always been a misconception that kids don't really have high pain or pain the way that adults might have it. And unfortunately, that's not true.
We continue speaking with Dr. Zeltzer about advancements in pediatric pain and hear from Donna Sullivan again when we return after this brief word about our sponsor.
The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and made possible thanks to our sponsor, Tremo Pharmaceuticals.
I think a lot of times, I don't really describe it as pain. I may say an ache.
This is Cindy Springer. She's the head of clinical operations for Tremo. Cindy recognizes that there are many factors that can contribute to pain perception and experience.
I think you always hear people say, I have a very high pain tolerance, and then other people perhaps don't. So I think maybe it begins there on how they perceive their pain. There might be some either family or cultural situations where it's not looked on well if you're complaining about pain. So they may not mention it or work through it. So I think that's what makes it difficult to know how much pain they're actually in.
For Cindy, using certain words to describe pain can sometimes contribute to the way she perceives her own pain.
Like, I have an ache. I don't know what the difference is by saying that, but maybe I think it's less of a problem if it's an ache versus you say you have a pain.
Concealing pain is common in the workplace, but at Tremo, employees are awarded a safe space to talk about chronic pain.
If somebody's not feeling well, or, you know, it's not a big deal, we're all very supportive.
My name is Patrick James Lynch. I'm one of the producers of the Pain Podcast, and I have severe hemophilia A. As someone living with hemophilia and arthritis in my joints, I know firsthand how difficult and debilitating chronic pain can be. I also know the challenges that come with trying to find relief, which is why I'm excited to share with you the ReSET-HA study from Tremo. Tremo was founded with the goal of developing and delivering non-opioid pain therapies for people living with pain. Tremo's ReSET-HA study is a clinical research study for people who experience joint pain due to hemophilia. The study is evaluating an oral non-opioid investigational drug designed to be taken once a day to see if it may potentially help relieve joint pain and improve physical function in people with hemophilic arthropathy or HA. You may be eligible to participate in this clinical research study if you are between the ages of 12 and 75, have been diagnosed with hemophilia A or B, have chronic pain in one or more joints, and do not take opioid medication more than 4 days a week. If you are interested in learning more about taking part in Tremo's ReSET-HA study, visit resethastudy.com. That's ResetHastudy.com to find a study location near you. Reset the way you manage your pain. Visit ResetHastudy.com today.
Time flies, and it feels like only yesterday I was running down the street playing touch football with my neighborhood friends. And although I may not want to fully admit it, I am an adult. I have adult responsibilities and, unfortunately, the aches and pains that come with aging. It's hard not to look at a younger generation and think, stay young as long as you can. Some of you may recognize that quote from the popular movie Billy Madison. It's easy to look back on youth and yearn for the days free of these responsibilities and pain. We often associate chronic pains and aches with aging. But research shows that untreated chronic pain in children incurs a high risk for the development of pain later in life. So, if you're a child who experiences chronic pain, staying young as long as you can might not be so desirable. Donna Sullivan gives insight into the caregiver's experience and shares her son's journey with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and complex regional pain syndrome as a reminder that pain knows no age.
My family was spending 7 to 13 weeks every year in the hospital at our worst time because I had my daughter who was overcoming her spinal surgeries. And then my son was 10 years old and active and then had an accident, a snowboarding accident, and he fell. And within 2 weeks of high pain, being diagnosed with a bone contusion, his leg turned purple. And we knew immediately what it was because my daughter had been through the pediatric pain program in Boston. So I knew it was something called complex regional pain syndrome. And for those who don't know what that is, it is a pain that is ranked higher than amputation level pain on the McGill pain scale. And it's a very challenging thing to treat because it's a dysfunction of your autonomic nervous system. So the blood flow becomes disrupted and the nerves fire pain way beyond the level of the injury itself. Even a ceiling fan would cause him to wince. This is a condition that doesn't have a cure. The treatment path is not going to be guaranteed. This, you know, is one of the most serious pain conditions known to man.
A study from Dr. Ellen Rosenquist at the Cleveland Clinic states that complex regional pain syndrome affects approximately 7% of children.
So that just devastated us. And seeing him in so much pain was just, you know, really hard. He basically lived in a chair for 6 months. But the hardest part of the diagnosis is that the only way to treat the complex regional pain is you have to keep moving the limb. And that is so counterintuitive to every single bone in a parent's body. You know, your child's in high pain, but you still have to get them to move and push the pain for them to get better. And that was really tough. You know, you have to trust and you have to just kind of put on a poker face and figure out how to still parent. How do you parent your child? How do you parent through that? How do you say it's really gonna hurt, you know, like hell, literally? It was awful. It was absolutely awful.
Making decisions concerning your child's pain is tough. Dr. Lonnie Zeltzer, who now heads Whole Child LA, a Los Angeles pain clinic, and started CHIP, a nonprofit organization that provides creative healing for youth in pain, discusses ways parents, caregivers, and physicians can approach and treat pediatric pain.
We know that what we call a multidisciplinary approach is the best, most effective approach for treating chronic pain. And my research has always been mind-body focused. There are things you can do with your mind and with your body to impact those circuits to actually alter pain circuits.
With advancements in technology, doctors are now able to see where pain is in the brain. Also, connectomes, which is the development of connections and neurocircuits within the brain. Dr. Zeltzer believes that identifying these allows for more advancements in the way pain is treated and managed, and can help with a multidisciplinary approach like hers that is mind-body focused.
But in kids, the most important thing is helping them get functional with body-based activities, mind-based activities, and the goal is you want to form a balance and reprogram those pain circuits.
Through body and mind-based activities, children can reprogram pain circuits. So, if we address pain at a younger age, could it help to potentially minimize chronic pain in some adults?
Addressing it earlier, the younger you are in your young adulthood, your brain is still developing and has more neural flexibility.
Addressing the pain while a child has more neural flexibility might be the key to a life lived with less pain. Pediatric multidisciplinary programs exist at most major medical centers, but they often have long wait lines, they may not be geographically convenient, and a person's health insurance may dictate access to treatment. So, where do parents seek treatment? Well, many of these pediatric pain experts, like Dr. Lonnie Zeltzer, have developed resources online, as well as clinics that provide care and treatment regardless of insurance status. While advocates like Donna build resources and community to help guide those navigating a pediatric pain journey.
The nonprofit that I work with, TCAP, the Coalition Against Pediatric Pain, we bring together families from across the country and even overseas. And most of the kids that we serve also have an underlying connective tissue disease. We try to help these kids maintain their health, keep going to physical therapy, and all the things that will help them have a better quality of life. We support the emotional side of living this life.
If you're interested in learning more about the Coalition Against Pediatric Pain, CHIP, Whole Child LA, or any of the resources we discussed, you can find links to these in this episode's show notes. Before we wrap up, I'd like to share a final piece from Donna Sullivan. To the parents or caregivers who may be struggling to navigate through their child's pain, know this.
If I can say anything to moms out there that are dealing with this or trying to navigate a pain journey with their children, it is a really challenging landscape. And this was something that I did learn in the pediatric pain programs. We just had to try to keep some kind of schedule. Your wins are going to be different from other people's.
It's hard not to compare your journey with another person's journey. When children are young, chronic pain seems like a far-off concept that only adults and beyond experience. But as we learned in this episode, chronic pain knows no age. Protecting a child from painful experiences may not always be an option, but listening and believing their words, throwing away common misconceptions, and seeking proper support and treatment can make a huge difference in the way they go through life. And as a parent, guardian, or caregiver to a child in pain, know that you are not alone and that your wins are going to look different than other people's wins. I want to thank my guests, Donna Sullivan and Dr. Lonnie Zeltzer, for sharing their knowledge and experience on pediatric pain, and remind you that you can also find more resources about pediatric pain programs and support groups at mychip.org, wholechildla.com, and tcapp.org.
We'll go further together if we understand better and better what the issues are for people with chronic pain, not just us toiling away in the lab somewhere and, you know, the proverbial academic or ivory tower.
We talk with experts about addressing sociologic factors and advancements in chronic pain research next time on the Pain Pod. The Pain Podcast is written and hosted by me, Mel Forrest, produced by Greg Holtzman, edited by Colby Crow, artwork by Ryan Gielen and Christina Newhart, post-production support from Joshua Sterling Bragg, Rob Bradford, Allison Stoney, and Avra Friedman, and executive produced by Patrick James Lynch. The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and presented by Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Tremo's RESET-HA study is a clinical research study for people who experience joint pain due to hemophilia. And you can learn more about it by visiting resethastudy.com. That's RESETHASTUDY.com. And as always, if you like this episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and share the Pain Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Mel Forrest, and we'll be back next time with episode 3 of the Pain Pod.